Views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
What's up, everybody? It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
What's going on, world? Welcome. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Good show for you today. For the main part of it is what happens when you get a bunch of really skilled, really good people all together in the same place focusing on solving a problem. You get amazingness, and we're going to talk about all of that and how the Pentagon got more than their money's worth by putting a bunch of good people together. And we actually might get to talk about this Guccifer 2.0 cat that seems to have hacked the Democratic National Committee about to find documents on Donald Trump, but found more than they bargained for, including Hillary's donor list, which included a bunch of people like Morgan Freeman and Steven Spielberg. So, you know, she's got all the good entertainment on her side. If you want to get involved in this show today and you haven't already subscribed over on the CharlesTendellShow.com, or you're not listening live over on the CharlesTendellShow.com, you can call us. 303-632-4160, unless Donnie whispers in my ear and tells me that the lines are jammed because we can't get anybody else on. The number 303-632-4160 will get you on and get you involved. Or if you're over on Facebook, I don't ever forget about the wonderful Facebook people. Say hi to the Facebook people, Donnie.
Hello.
If you're over on Facebook, down below, comment, questions, all that other wonderful stuff. I'll try and get to it during the show. But if I don't feel like I'm not paying attention to you. So you've got all these different great ways. The CharlesTendellShow.com. You can go and you can call the show, 303-632-4160. Or if you've got your phone in your hand right now and you want to download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store, you can send me a text and I might read that. So let's get into our headlines and introduce my guest. My guest this evening, because I'm going to be actually out in California, and this is how my guests get all wrapped in this. I'm going to be in California all weekend doing this show and doing the other show, the WTF America show, which you know of at charlesdendell.com. I've got two guests that are going to be joining me, and just found out recently they're going to be on the same plane as me getting over there. So joining me is Brian, and I apologize, Brian, I'm going to butcher your last name, Arlenis, the founder, CEO, and chairman of IT Source Tech, Inc., and Carl Davis Jr., the president and executive director of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. Gentlemen, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show.
Thank you, Charles. It's great to be here.
Right on. So guys, tell my listeners, and whoever wishes to go first, you go ahead, who you are, what you're about, and where you're from.
Great. So, Carl, do you want to go first? Do we have Carl?
Uh-oh. We lost Carl.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Oh, there he is.
There's Carl.
How you doing? Well, I'll go first because Brian's really got the technology part of the cyber stuff. But I'm going to talk about the event itself. This is a Juneteenth sort of festival celebration. Mm-hmm. And the difference of it this year is Juneteenth has traditionally been like an African-American celebration about freedom, right? Mm-hmm. But now bringing in the Silicon Valley Black Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, the Filipino Chamber, the Vietnamese Business Association, the Japanese Business Association, we've opened it up to be a big multicultural community celebration. And so this is the first year that it's happening like this, and we're just praying and believing that, all the wonderful things we have lined up in the Tech Pavilion, the Health and Wellness Pavilion, all these different pavilions is going to bring a lot of people out, and people are going to have a wonderful time, besides for having Pete Escovedo there.
All right. And so what should people expect to see at the Juneteenth Festival? What do they get for attending or seeing at this thing?
Well, they actually get a chance to experience the Tech Pavilion, which is going to show off the technology stuff that Brian's going to talk a little bit more about later. Mm-hmm. They're actually going to get a chance to go into a health and wellness sort of pavilion where we're going to, you know, get all the information out about how to better take care of yourself and, you know, put more responsibility for people to take care of their own health and all the different things that are being supplied by the city and the county of San Jose. Then they're going to be able to go to the Heritage Pavilion, and they're actually going to get an opportunity to hear history told by the culture itself. You know, one of the challenges of African Americans for years has been that our history has not been told by us. Mm-hmm. So not only are we going to do it for African Americans, but we're going to do it for the Spanish culture, which means the Latinas and Mexicans, and then the Asian culture, which will have Vietnamese, Filipino, Chinese. So besides that, and then here comes the fun part. Mm-hmm. There'll be a family, a children and health, a children and family pavilion, which are going to have a bunch of jumpers and all the face painting and all the kids stuff, besides for a job fair and education pavilion. So we have a lot to offer besides for the different types of foods. There's going to be many different type of cuisines there from all the different nationalities and entertainment. So it's a full day.
All right, and everybody's going to wonder, because this is going out over the airways live in Denver, but if you're listening over on the CharlesTendellShow.com or you're listening to this later, this is all in San Jose, California, not the Denver metro area. So sorry, Mile High City, you guys can come out there. You can join us. You can join us out there for this fun and this festivities. But it is in California, but it's still awesome. So all of my listeners from California, I know of a couple of you who have been asking when the next time is I'm going to be out there. But it turned out it's going to be this weekend. So if you're out there, and my buddy Dennis, we're going to go clubbing, but we have a whole different meaning of what that means. So Carl, thank you for that. So Brian, what else is going to be going on? Who are you? Well, actually, guys, we're going to be up against a break here in like the next 30 seconds. So Brian, go real quick and then I'll bring you back after the break.
All right. Sounds good. So yeah, we're running the Tech Pavilion, which we've been blessed with getting sponsorship by Cisco for the Tech Pavilion. We're going to have a lot of fun things going on there with 3D virtual reality displays on some of it actually being heritage, you know, Black history sites and whatnot, but also cybersecurity is going to be heavily featured in the Tech Pavilion. Okay. And we can talk more about that when we come back, since I know we're limited here.
Right on. Well, Brian, we are up against the break, so hang out with me for a minute. If you're just joining, this is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We're talking about the Juneteenth Festival that's going to be taking place in San Jose, California over the weekend. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the news and a couple other great things.
Here's real quick.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
This is Roger Michalski from Eagle Financial Publications. Are you a dividend investor? If so, let me tell you about a website that has just about every resource that a dividend investor could ask for. It's called dividendinvestor.com. We just launched a new and improved version of it, and there's nothing else like it. When you log on to dividendinvestor.com, you'll find screening tools plus an all-star ranking system to help you find the best dividend opportunities. There's a scorecard to track the dividends in your very own portfolio, plus time-sensitive updates so you'll be the first to know when dividends go up or go down, and so many other features. Be my guest. Log on for free today at dividendinvestor.com. Set up a portfolio and see how easy it is to work the dividend calculator, and be sure to take the website tour to discover all the other great benefits. I'm convinced dividendinvestor.com will pay dividends to your bottom line. Go to dividendinvestor.com now. dividendinvestor.com.
Financial words of wisdom with Market Wrap host Mo Ansari.
Don't tell me technicals do not matter. Of course they matter.
Let your winners run, cut your losers quickly. Being hyperactive is just as bad as being a holding hoper. Middle of the road is the answer, and that's what you need to do.
It's helpful financial food for thought on your drive home with a host who tells it like it is. Market Wrap with Mo Ansari.
Weeknights at 6 on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Want a heavy-duty American-made vacuum that makes the others look like they? Come to All Ray's Vacuum and Sewing, where service and quality still count. All Ray's Vacuum is the oldest vacuum location in town for over 35 years. With over 200 makes and models on display and over 10,000 bags, belts, and parts in stock, you'll be sure to find what you need. So visit All Ray's for all your vacuum and sewing machine needs at 3740 South Broadway, just south of Hamden, or visit them online at allraysvacuum.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
See, Donnie likes to play good music. And it's because I got to pick the list, right? Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. It's Thursday, June 16, 2016, and the first portion of the show, I'm talking to Brian Arlenis, the founder, CEO, and chairman of IT Source Tech, and Carl Davis Jr., the president and executive director of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, about some fun and festivities that are happening this weekend in San Jose, California, at the Juneteenth Festival. There's going to be tech, there's going to be fun, there's going to be medical, there's going to be kids out there, there's going to be a job fair, there's all sorts of great stuff going on out there. And I apologize for you Denver cats that you won't be able to get out there, but if you want to come out to California and hang out and join this, please get on a plane. I can't pay for you, but get on a plane and come on out there. So, guys, welcome back. And Brian, before the break, you were explaining to people who you were and what was going on.
Yeah. So, basically, I'm a CEO of a cybersecurity technology company, and we protect a lot of the larger Fortune 100, 500 companies, protect them from being hacked. So we actually are more centric around data security and have a lot of solutions for that. And we're excited to help with this tech pavilion because we've brought a lot of very bright people in the cyber community to be a part of it, like yourself. And thank you again for being a part of Juneteenth and the tech pavilion.
My pleasure.
So we can really bring a lot to the general public and help them understand, and especially in the diverse communities, help them understand, how they can not just be a user of technology, but actually be a contributor to technology and get involved in cybersecurity and or just defend themselves and understand, have some more awareness of where those threats are. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of the pavilion, is education and bringing about awareness, having some cool demonstrations that you will be a part of, and excited about that. That's pretty much the premise there, and Cisco being a sponsor, they're actually going to have quite a few of their folks there to share about security and cloud and connection of all these devices and everything. Digitization, I think, is one of their keys. So they'll be there, as well as some entrepreneurs within the cyber security space and technology in general. So it's going to be fun.
There's going to be a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life that are going to be there. And all of this actually tied me into it, kind of through 6 degrees of separation. Jules, who's not on the interview yet, and maybe she'll get on, or she's listening out there. She probably is. She likes to pay attention to things that's going on. But she introduced me to you guys because your involvement in another organization that I find to be just absolutely amazing. And I was recently at their inaugural conference in Washington, D.C. It was a great event. It was sold out. We had CEOs and C-level executives from every major, or as many Fortune 50 or major corporations out there, and it was all centered around cybersecurity. And it was ICMCP, or the International Consortium of Minority Cybersecurity Professionals, which is a huge name to say. So ICMCP for short. But this is what they do. I mean, this is kind of like you guys like are holding hands on this whole endeavor, because you're bringing together minorities of different backgrounds all together in one place to talk about tech, to talk about development, to talk about all these wonderful updates. And it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. That organization, it's really just to see a room full of, people from all over the globe, that are cybersecurity professionals is amazing. Mm-hmm. And really, in this, day and age, you need diversity within a cybersecurity organization so that you have that divergent thought, and you can actually look at solving and protecting things from many different angles. And so that's where we're really trying to promote awareness within, different communities, so that we can bring people in through scholarships, mentorship, and get, you know, that diversity within cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was something else that I've always seen. And I do a lot of traveling, and you know, I walk into a lot of different environments and a lot of things that are going on. And I'm rare. You know, if you go to any cybersecurity conference, you know, I'm usually like one of five black guys that are there. You know, or you know, I'm a minority. I'm there. Not a lot of us there.
Right.
So to see, you know, people of color actually show up at one of these events to all get together, and people realize, yeah, hey, these guys are doing it too. You know, it's not, it shouldn't be as much of a surprise as it is, but it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Brian, I want to just interject something.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, Brian, can you hear me? No, I want to interject something because what you had said, Charles, is obviously a tender point for us. And we felt like we wanted to try to dive into that. Although we're a business organization, Brian knows that we produce something called the first Silicon Valley Black Youth Hackathon.
One more time, Carl. Is the Silicon Valley Black Youth Hackathon?
Black Youth Hackathon.
All right.
And I'll send you like the little video of it. But it was to do what Brian was talking about earlier about, you know, the awareness and the knowledge of you know, minorities in STEM. And so instead of competing against others, we actually put it together where, you know, only African Americans were invited, but at the end of the day, everybody came.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening was we took 3 weeks of teaching people how to code before we actually did the overnight experience of the hackathon, and it was fantastic. So we definitely, when you go places and you feel like you're rare, we're trying to change that, Charles.
I mean, there are a lot of groups out there that are, and it's the more you go looking for them, the more you find. But they're pocketed. You know, there's another organization that's a buddy of mine, Greg Greenlee's outfit, is the Blacks in Technology blog and podcast. He's out there doing it and bringing a lot of talented people together. Again, ICMCP is doing it, and there are a lot of local little groups that are doing it. And the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce is doing it, and you know, even the Denver Black Chamber. I mean, all of these. It always. Every event that I go to that's sponsored by one of these organizations that focus specifically on minorities, you show up and that's not what you get. Like, you usually get this mix of all different people. You get women, you get, you know, Asians, you get, you know, Hispanics, you get, you know, you name it, you get all these people that show up to this event for minorities. So while it seems almost like it's exclusive, it's really not, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Yeah. That's we try and be inclusive. That's the beauty behind it. So and I belong to another organization called High Tech, which is a Hispanic IT Executive Council, and you know, that's another thing that we focus on there. And there's a sister organization, ITSMF, that is for African American executives in IT. And, you know, I think our whole thing is trying to be more inclusive instead of exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, regardless of your nationality, we want you there. We want you around the table. We, you know, it is predominantly, you know, either a Hispanic or African American focus, but we don't push people out. And mm-hmm. I think that's the unique thing about what I think a lot of us, especially here in Silicon Valley, are trying to change is really get that inclusion so that you can get a deeper collaboration and creativity going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Carl, what do you say?
Oh, I echo what Brian was saying there. And so I'm, you know, that's, I echo what he said.
Right.
I'm fine.
Right. Well, I mean, the cyber community, the tech community as a whole, you know, is this kind of hodgepodge of people of different backgrounds, different colors, different styles, because, you know, let's face it, we all kind of live in a world where who you are doesn't really matter. It's what you can do behind a keyboard, you know, whether it be, you
mm-hmm.
know, penetration testing or whether it be policy development, whatever it is, everybody is kind of, you know, broken down into their ones and zeros, you know, so you get these people with these really strong technical backgrounds or technical ideas spread out through all walks of life. Why would this be? Is there any reason why this might be a bad thing? You know, why wouldn't everyone be trying to say, hey, let's not do the minority thing. Let's do the all hyper inclusive thing where we get all the people from all walks of life involved.
Well, I think that is a, you know, there's a, the growing trend to get more minority inclusion is because, you know, like cybersecurity, there's less than 3% diversity in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
IT in general, it's about 10%. And so getting women and minorities involved in the discussion helps to bring that creative thought and you know, different ways to approach solving the problems. Because right now, you know, we're in a global economy and global threat scenario. So if we're not bringing in a bunch of different cultures and ways of looking at problems, then we're going to be, you know, we'll lose the battle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where you've got companies like Intel and Cisco and HPE and others that are investing, you know, tens if not hundreds of millions into trying to solve this problem and get more diversity into STEM and technology and cybersecurity.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see that it's a problem where it's getting more, you know, the diversity issue where there are not enough minorities in the field, but that's where it's not enough minorities that are entering the field. What do you think is causing that? What is the lack of diversity? What's the root cause of that one?
Did you want to handle that, Brian?
You want to go, Carl? Go ahead.
I want to say my little piece about it early because, when you think about education, I'm here in Silicon Valley, and there's this big explosion of tech jobs that are supposed to be in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and yet we almost have 40 to 50% of our high school students of color are dropping out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So the real emphasis is back in education and in schooling before you can even think about, you know, coding and any of sophisticated stuff you're going to do later. So we're in the schools. We mm-hmm. have a program called our Next Generation Business Academy,
mm-hmm.
where we teach business and financial literacy. But now we realize that we have to get into the science, technology, engineering, arts, math,
mm-hmm.
the whole STEAM thing. So it's about education for us early, and then it's about passing them on, a soft handoff to people like Brian and who could then take them to another level in the cybersecurity and coding.
All right, so building them up at a young level with education and mentorships and programs and opportunities to show them, hey, yeah, you can go out and be, you know, in the tech world. You can be a programmer. You can be an ethical hacker. You can be, you know, whatever you want to be. You can be an expert in your field. You just got to get them started early doing, you know, science, technology, art, math, and things of that nature.
Exactly.
Why is it that these programs exist everywhere, right? These programs are around. Is there a reason that we're not seeing more? I mean, the statistic was what, less than 30% in the tech industry?
11.
Say again?
Oh, 10%, less than 10% in tech, and less than 3% in cybersecurity.
A minute.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean,
we've got a lot of work to go, but you
right.
know. It's not going to change overnight, but mm-hmm. I think with the, you know, with the focus now starting to happen, I think we're making some headway. And I don't think there has really been a focus on changing and pushing from the early levels of education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking, you know, junior high, trying to get kids into coding and, you know, the STEM programs.
Right. Well, we're up against the break, guys, so hang out with me for a little bit longer. If you're just joining, this is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to Brian Arlenas, founder, CEO of IT Source Tech, and Carl Davis Jr., executive director of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. We're talking about diversity in tech. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Facebook. Yes, you Facebook people out there. I see you. I see what you're doing. If you're not doing anything other than watching just me, yeah, it says beast mode. I'm cool. I know. It's hard to not watch me. Down in the bottom is a comment section. Comment, question, subscribe, like, share, do whatever it is that you do out there on Facebook and get more people involved in the conversation, because the more people involved, the better this get. So it's an hour show, not a me show that you watch. So go over to the CharlesTendellShow.com, subscribe, click the like button. You can click on the interact button and get it on iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher or Blog Talk or wherever else you want to get it from. You can send me an email to Charles@theCharlesTendellShow.com. Tell me how I'm doing. Tell me what you want to hear. Tell me what is on your mind coming up. So go over to the CharlesTendellShow.com and get involved in the conversation.
This is Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock and investment advisor and financial planner for JF Thompson Wealth Management. Please join me on Denver's Money Talk Radio as we chat about how to protect your investment portfolio and overall financial plan. So listen to me, Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, 8 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. KDMT, where I coach you on how money really works.
Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, weekday mornings at 8 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m.
As the school year draws to a close, so many parents are wondering how they'll help their kids occupy their time without the influence of TV, video games, and the internet. This year, consider summer camps for your teen. For a limited time, our Chief Bargain Hunter is featuring a half-priced camper tuition to Chile Camps, located close to home in Estes Park. Activities your teen will experience during their camp stay include hiking, horseback riding, backpacking, whitewater rafting, and so much more. What better way to discover new strengths without outside pressures or expectations than to get out of the city and come camp at Camp Chile. Camper spots are only open for girls ages 12 to 14 and are filling up fast. This summer, come enjoy the fresh Rocky Mountain air at Camp Chile. To purchase, visit summercampbargains.com or just click the Bargain Hunter link on 710knus.com or krks.com. Summercampbargains.com. Again, that's summercampbargains.com or just click the Bargain Hunter link on 710knus.com or krks.com.
You keep wondering about refinancing options. You know rates are low, but don't know how to go about getting the best rate and best type of loan for your situation. What do you even need to get started? Wonder no more. Go to CherylAnswers.com. Cheryl of ALMC Mortgage has put together a checklist of what you need to know and frequently asked questions when it comes to your mortgage. Get answers. Go to CherylAnswers.com. CherylAnswers.com.
LMB number 1000-20432. NMLS number 266695. You can check the licensing status of your mortgage loan originator at dora.state.co.us.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
It's the cure, because you need more cowbell in order to cure that fever. Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. The number again, 303-632-4160 will get you on and involved in the conversation, or you can go over to thecharlestendellshow.com. Yes, thecharlestendellshow.com. You can subscribe, you can listen to the live stream, you can let you know, share it on social media, connect on LinkedIn and Facebook and TuneIn and iTunes and everywhere else, and listen to the past shows where, like yesterday, we talked about, you know, emails and servers and legal liability of people stealing your data or doing the insider threat, and how we ended up paying the fine to Morgan Stanley. All good stuff. That was a great week. It was a long week, and I'll probably do a summary show tomorrow. But if you get over to thecharlestendellshow.com, you can get involved and you can stay connected, and you can even click links and go over to the Facebook page where you can watch at least my side of the story. You can listen to the live stream and you can watch me. It's pretty cool. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not cool to look at. But my guests today are Brian Arlenes, founder, CEO, and chairman of IT Source Tech, and Carl Davis Jr., the president and executive director of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. We're talking now about diversity in the technology world and how the key to all of this is something that my wife will always back up, is education. We don't have enough people, enough young people being taught that technology can be used for more than things like Instagram and Facebook and selfies. So, gentlemen, welcome back to the Charles Tendell Show. And Brian, you were gonna say something before the break.
Well, thanks, Charles. No, I think we covered. I'm not sure, to be honest. But
So Carl, you were saying that the underlying issue for the lack of diversity in technology starts at a young age. It starts at the education system. But why? Why are these things not naturally available to people of color in schools?
Well, it's like a lot of other things. You know, if people don't purposely take the time to teach you, you know, the basics, you know, we've all heard that stuff that they can almost start, you know, estimating the prison population by third grade. Mm. And it almost broke my heart, Charles, when I heard that. I said, what idiocy is that? But then when you looked into it deeper, you know what people were saying? The educators were telling me, they said, Carl, you learn to read from grades 1 to 3. After that, you read to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So they figured it out, and I was like, oh, my goodness, it hurt my heart. But here's what we're doing to try to change this. I was in Washington, D.C., and I sat on a panel for this. A gentleman shared an example. Some kids were, you know, looking at a turntable, and they love spinning and playing the music. Well, slowly but surely, he broke the turntable down, and the next thing you know, it became an engineering class, and very subtly, the kids didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have got to make STEM, the science, technology, engineering, math, we have to make those things fun. We got to make them learnable, and we got to do it at a young age, like Brian said.
Mm-hmm. Brian, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I agree. I really do believe that you know, we've got to take interest in the young minds. And I think a lot of it has to do with the socioeconomic factor as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's all based on you know, just race. I think there is an unfortunate socioeconomic divide that affects more minorities,
mm-hmm.
and that's you know, a reason for it. But there's also and a part of what we're trying to change, like at the event this weekend, is showing the community, you know, that there are others like them in these positions, open their eyes to what is possible. And, you know, if you would have asked me when I was young if I would be in technology, I would have never imagined in a million years. But then I had people that entered my life that showed me this path, and that's, you know, it kept evolving. So I think that's another responsibility that we have as professionals in the technology space,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, pull people up from our community and, you know, make awareness. And so that's you know, things like community organizations, like where Carl is involved, you know, those are important. And, you know, right here in San Rafael, where we have our office, there's a Canal Alliance is what it's called, and that's, you know, for the Hispanic community, where, you know, I go and talk to the kids, and these are kids, you know, from the second grade up through high school, you know, so it's really showing them that awareness and helping them see that, you know, you can change your own path, and here's what the options are and how to pursue those options.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen a lot of youngsters, and I'm not really, I don't call myself old. I hope nobody calls me old, but I guess I am the old guy that sits in the chair now, right? But I've run into a lot of young people, because I do a lot of speaking at schools. I do a lot of teaching, for CLEs and for places where there are small children, and we have a really good internship where there is no bottom age. If you're skilled enough to get into the intern program or you're skilled enough to do it, we want you on the team anyway. But we see a lot of these kids, and a lot of them, regardless of their backgrounds, regardless of their ethnicity or where they find themselves in life, they all say the same things. There's not a real easy entry into tech. Yeah, we can learn to code Java in school. We can learn to do computer stuff. But the path that we have to take, you know, it's pretty convoluted. They're like, do I need to go to a four-year school, or do I need to get a four-year degree? What certifications should I go after? What types of education should I, as a minor or as a young person, go after to be able to get into either cyber or just the tech world? And it to me, like we happen to be, and you're right, as leaders, as people who are out there doing certain things, we get to reach back and say, you come with me. And when we were coming up in it, people were like, I have no idea. You're going to have to trailblaze on your own. You're going to have to figure this out all by yourself. So they are kind of fortunate nowadays.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, especially in cybersecurity, you know, the age of just rapid change that we're in, I think there's a lot of ways to get into cybersecurity without even having to go to the traditional four-year university.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, you know, the getting the degree is of a lot of value for a lot of reasons. But, you know, I think there's people in different phases of life and different challenges that, you know, can go through certification programs and whatnot and just get going in their career earlier. And then, you know, there's a lot of alternative ways to get your bachelor of science or master's, which is, you know, a great thing that we didn't have, you know, when we were coming up either. So,
and I mean, that's one of the things, like my wife and I were actually talking about this all day. And Carl, at any point, feel free to chime in on this. But my wife and I were talking about this earlier today, that it's not the degree that matters, right? It's not that piece of paper. It's not that destination. It's the journey to that. It's the skills you're going to learn, the analytical thinking skills, the trade skills and things of that nature that you can pick up. But the degree itself is irrelevant. You can get a lot of the skills for cybersecurity going through certification, going through training. Like I'm currently taking my OSCP. Right, and I'm going through that course because I'm like, hey, this is going to be awesome. This is pretty cool. I'd love to get more hands on with what it is that I do. And you know, I see every time somebody asks me, like, what college should I go to? Don't pick up a couple of books, start learning technology, and get the first rule I tell them is like, be ridiculously intimate with your technology. And I don't mean it in the sick way either.
Well, I want to share. Hey, Charles, I want to share something, a story that someone told me at a cybersecurity conference, that if you wanted to get into the FBI and you wanted to become an FBI agent, mm-hmm. after they kind of select you, I think they vet you for like almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to work with the FBI in cybersecurity, after they vet you or like you, they say in less than 6 months you'll be working.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got interns.
That is the future.
Yeah, I've got guys who were former interns of mine, right? And he left, and he went into the public sector, and he's gone. Like he, there's not enough of him, you know. So he's got job security. But the problem that I'm seeing a lot when it comes to the public sector jobs, when it comes to cybersecurity, is they're not paying enough. You know, you've got guys that are you know, top of their game, that are highly skilled, that in the private sector can make, you know, $250,000 jobs, you know, depending on who they talk to, with some of these well-funded, you know, cybersecurity startups, because cybersecurity has become kind of the buzzword lately, right? But then you have all of these lower level guys that are just the certified ones, that are just the ones who aren't certified at all, who just have the natural raw talent, where these guys are going to ceiling themselves, and they can't get paid. So they can switch over and be black hats and make that salary in a month. You know, and so it's tempting. That's part of the problem. We're losing a lot of talent because the Fed doesn't want to pay, or they don't want to pay, but they want to have the same level of red tape that they have on everything else. They don't want to pay extra for that, but you still have to put up with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a challenge. That is definitely a challenge. The federal government is fighting a tough battle, but there are so many jobs that they're rolling out that I think, you know, that different agencies are handling it in different ways. The Department of Homeland Security is actually under the Undersecretary, Dr. Phyllis Schneck. She has done some amazing things to turn around their organization.
Brian, don't forget your thought. We are up against the break. It's the last one in this hour.
Sure.
So we'll be right back. This is Hack, the Charles Tindall Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We're talking diversity in technology and how we can fix it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Charles Tindall Show.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
It's a difficult decision. When you finally decide to have your hearing tested, where do you go for professional care? Tens of thousands are spent every week on ads trying to convince you to come in for a free hearing test or a sale that's this week only. For professional care, I suggest you take a different approach. I'm Dr. Barbara Jenkins, owner of Advanced Audiology. I have 25 years of hospital and clinical experience treating both hearing loss and tinnitus. My first suggestion? Ask your physician who they would go to, not just who's on their list. Who do they trust? Second, go online and search Doctor of Audiology and then type in your area. You don't want an evaluation performed by a technician or hearing aid salesperson. Your hearing is a serious concern, so you should treat it as such. For more information, go to advancedaudiology.com or call 303-649-2122. Because at Advanced Audiology, We take your hearing seriously.
In the summer, it's hot in the upstairs bedrooms most of the day. Our office is up there and it's sweltering. We've used one of those big fans in the evening, but it pulls in too much dust and pollen. The AC ran constantly, yet the only cool place in the house is the basement. My husband started insisting we buy a new air conditioner, and that's when I called the people at AirSwap. AirSwap showed me my furnace and air conditioner are the right size for my house, and my air conditioner was working just fine. They adjusted our ductwork, created stronger airflow to distribute all that cool air in the basement, and this even helped us save electricity. The house is more comfortable in the winter as well. They reduced the big temperature difference between the floors, and now the upstairs is comfortable during the day and early evening. Call them at 303-761-0729, on the web at air-swap.com, 303-761-0729, or air-swap.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Thank you, Donnie. Because it's my new favorite song, at least my daughter points it all the time. And I do owe beer to one of the show listeners for properly identifying this in the comments on the Facebook page. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. My guests today are twofold. Brian Arlenis is the founder and CEO and chairman of IT Source Tech, Inc. And we've got Carl Davis, Jr., president and executive director of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about diversity in cybersecurity, and we're talking about how to get more people into this industry, because we just tilted to it. The Pentagon and everybody else needs people like us. They need people with skills. They need more people. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, you got questions, or you're interested in job fairs or finding people or anything like that, or you need a job, you can call us right now live at 303-632-4160. The number again is 303-632-4160, and get your questions answered about how to get into this field. It's not as hard as you think, and you don't have to be like a hyper geek to do it. So it's if you're inquisitive, join. You can also go over to the charlestendellshow.com. You can fill out a form. You can send me an email at charles@thecharlestendellshow.com. While you're there, click the subscribe button. It's in iTunes. It's in Spreaker. It's everywhere you want to be or where you are now. And if you're watching live over on Facebook, you can watch me there, and you can still call in. You can still hear yourself and watch me talk to you on the Facebook live stream. So go to thecharlestendellshow.com and get connected over there. Or if you don't want to do any of that and you want to do the easiest thing, pick up your phone and download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store, and you can listen to this show live stream. You can listen to Connect and Collaborate. You can listen to Experience Pros. You can listen to The Retirement Jock or Jeff Thompson. All good stuff, all about your money, about your financial investments, about how you can deal with your money. And if you're a small business owner and you're listening, you know what it's all about. So that's what Money Talk is all about. So you just focus there and hang out. So there are all kinds of great ways for you to get connected. But bringing it back, we're talking about diversifying, you know, either people of color, people, minorities, men, women in the technology environment, and coming in at the easiest ways possible and making that entry barrier a little less, I don't know, Carl, what would you say we were trying to make it? A little less impactful, a little less dense, a little less scary, what?
Well, you know, that's where, that verbiage is so important. And Brian, you may have it, because Brian actually lives this. You know, mm-hmm. I run a chamber, so I'm usually taking good ideas or talking to people about good ideas and trying to, you know, help them to be profitable. But Brian actually, you know, his company, they are a cybersecurity expert. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brian, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I think it's reduced the barriers for entry, you know, because let's face it, it's not just, you know, the need for diversity. We need talent, period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, helping to reduce that barrier of entry is critical.
Mm-hmm. Reducing the barrier. What do you mean? Oh. We're not talking about lowering the standard to let, you know, more people in. We're talking about making standard more achievable. How are we thinking about doing that?
Yeah, I think having more programs where, you know, there are certification programs, and there's several good, credible ways of going about that. But, you know, not looking at maybe the traditional paths of education, you know, looking at things where you can get in and understand how to code, how to hack, how to defend, and also looking at how you can even adapt the current roles that people are in that might be sunsetting or don't have quite the, you know, explosive path of cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do we retrain some talents to actually be able to get into this profession? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people with degrees that aren't, you know, using those degrees to get them where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so how do we retrain people that have, you know, maybe they're electrical engineers, maybe they're, you know, other technical paths that don't have the opportunity that we have here.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, it's in my opinion, it's been kind of disastrous in certain organizations when I see someone from a completely different background who all of a sudden decides they want to be in cybersecurity. They go out, they take a Security Plus course, and now they're the director of cybersecurity at an organization. You know, and I see that's where companies like yours come into play, where it's really one of those things of, you know, you're not the expert, but you know enough to be dangerous. What should these companies be doing? What kinds of people are we looking for that are going to get into the company? Should we be more identifying and looking for people to get into cyber as penetration testers or ethical hackers, or more people getting in there as the executives, as the level up there that's going to say, these are the things that we need, these are the people that we need to be driving? I think we got to change both of those mindsets to get this all to work, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think Where the danger is getting people, unqualified people, for certain jobs. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a fit for, you know, if you have analytical skills and you've taken training and now you're jumping into an entry-level, you know, information security analyst. Mm-hmm. You know, those are applicable skills where you can come from a different background and be able to quickly immerse yourself into that. Mm-hmm. and be successful. But you're right, there have been some disasters where you get people that are not at the level they need to be in their role. And, you know, because of budgets and not having that focus on protection, you know, from a higher up corporate executive level, without that commitment, you're going to get bad results. Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen different programs out there where it gives you, you know, the hackathons and all those other wonderful things. But there are even those things out there now, and this is something that I wish had been around when I was first getting into the industry. But there are things out there now where you can do things at your own pace. You're not worried about people jumping on you. You're not worried about deliverables. You're not worried about any of this. Like the bounty programs. Like recently, there's the Pentagon, the Hack the Pentagon bounty program, where over like 100 right. bugs were found, and it only cost them like $15,000. Now they had like 1500 people, and it wasn't super expensive, and nobody got stupid rich off of it, but they plugged a bunch of different holes from people who, you know, some of them, most of them, I'll bet money, weren't certified, or a couple of them weren't certified, or some of them in there weren't certified, or that was all they had, was I've got a basic cybersecurity certification and some skill, some investigative capabilities where I can find holes in things. So there are ways for people to get in and get practice and get to work without actually, you know, having to commit this as their full time or their obsession until they're ready, right?
Yeah, I think the government has gotten pretty creative. And so, you know, programs like that, and like I was mentioning earlier, DHS, they're rolling out. They've got thousands of positions where they're getting very creative of how they attract that talent. And one of the interesting things about cybersecurity is, you know, if you're motivated and you have the intellect to make things happen, you can be a force of reckoning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique opportunity, I think, that we have within this field.
Hmm. Carl, what do you think?
I mean, I love what you and Brian were just talking about. Me as a chamber president and trying to get people employed in this field. Uh-huh. Obviously, you led earlier talking about we have to have the education. Because Silicon Valley right now, they're like what can you do for me right now? Mm-hmm. And so they bring in a lot of people from different countries to come over here and work. And it's sort of a sad situation that right here in Silicon Valley, San Jose, surrounding cities, that youth are dropping out of school, and these people can actually be sort of like their minor leagues. They can actually tailor these people to do exactly what they need them to do. Mm-hmm. So we're building programs like that. We have one program now called It Takes a Village with STEM, where we actually go and we bring professionals in there, and we go from first grade to 12th grade working with the kids as professionals, all theory. We haven't done it yet. And then we actually hand off to another program called Intern to Perm, where we actually give these Silicon Valley tech companies and other companies chance to intern these kids to see if they fit into the culture of what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And has it been pretty widely successful?
No, it hasn't, because nobody's taken. I've been chamber president for 3 years, but we haven't had any takers as far as people wanting to fund the program.
As in the companies, the you would think that many, that companies would be all over this. They'd be like, "Hey, wait, I can get an intern. I get to try before I buy a new employee. Yeah. I get to dictate what it is they're trained." What's the reason that a company wouldn't want to participate in something like this?
Well, you know, everybody's different. It may have been our message, mm-hmm. so we're trying to clean up our message and say it the right way. But at the end of the day, anybody in their right mind could actually see what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think more of the companies we were talking to are like, you know, we need somebody now, and they may perceive this as a program that may not bring them fruit for like many years.
Right. Right. So, what I've seen in a lot of environments or a lot of occasions where there's training involved, and this is one of those things that how I've always presented it to people is you might get a rookie, you might get someone who's fresh, who's just learning the industry, but they're passionate about the industry. And oh, by the way, they're backed by this fleet of industry experts, of industry leaders, of people who have been in the industry for a number of years that are teaching them, that are training them. Like, this is their network. Like, they show up on your doorstep. Yeah, they're a little green, but they can instantly send an email, a text message, phone call, iMessage, or whatever, you know, Snapchat, whatever they're doing these days, right, mm-hmm. directly to someone that has a better answer, or even a whole committee of people. Like, you're sending it back and it's like, hey, guys, here's what's going on in my firewall. I've got it. It looks like this. It's all confidential. It's all secure. It's all that other stuff. What am I doing wrong? Well, you might try this. You might try that. You might try this. You might try that. And you get this group, this collective of people that are trying to solve one problem.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's always been one of those ways that I sell cybersecurity when it comes to hiring young. You know, like, my staff has always been young guys, you know, and they're always young because they're hungry, because they're fast moving. Yeah, they might not be certified. Like, at one point, my team, there was nobody on my team that was certified. Nobody on my team that was certified but me. Right. And then in 6 months, everybody was. Right. By the end of 6 months, everybody was certified, and all of it aligned with their original passions for what it was they had for hacking. Like, one guy was code and development and research and just hardcore, like all of that stuff. The other guy was very good at you know, chasing people and chasing down leads. Like, if you needed to find a needle in a haystack, give this guy just a little bit of information and he could find you. Right. Now, since then, my team has grown, evolved, and changed. But, you know, these two cats specifically left the company to go to bigger companies and to do bigger and badder things. And I'm very, very, very proud of them. But they're going to continue on to do that. And they've got a built in network. I mean, it's kind of like back in the day when everybody had a fraternity.
One minute.
This is the network that you've got. Well, guys, we're at the last 60 seconds. So I want to give you both enough time to pitch who you are, your companies, how people can get more information on you. So I'm going to go with Carl first. Go.
Yeah, I'll just say, if people want to see some of the things we're doing, the Juneteenth is BayAreaJuneteenth.org, or they can go to the BlackChamber.com.
All right on.
Our website is BlackChamber.com.
Right on. Okay, your turn, Brian.
Excellent. So we can be found at itsourcetech.com. That's itsourcetech.com. And look forward to helping people, you know, as much as we can.
Right on. Well, guys, it's been great having you. Diversity and tech, we can get it fixed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. It's been a good show. Be here tomorrow when we talk more news.
KDMT Arvada Denver. We're all about money. Denver's all new. 1690 AM.